When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm just kind of marveled out at this point. It's hard to get excited for anything. Speaking of which, you said you watched the first episode of She-Hulk. How was it? Is it a yay, nay?
I want to say nay. They might. I'm going to keep watching until I can't.
My son was sick today, so he stayed home from school and he was watching it. And I saw a couple scenes. But I didn't see the full episode. I mean, the Mark Ruffalo stuff and the Hulk stuff, like that intrigues me more just because it's tying into, you know, the main Avengers stuff. But I assume he's just kind of there to introduce things or.
Yeah. I don't think he might show up again, but he won't be a regular for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't have that big actor if you're trying to grow a new character. He's just,
I think the concept can work. It was just odd to me. And, you know, I had to watch. I felt like I had to watch it last night because, again, I spend too much time on Twitter and there's always. And one of the things is burning me out is the toxic fans who hate everything.
Oh, yeah.
And then as Star Wars Theory perfectly said, toxic positivity, which goes on as well. So
there's a name for everything, I guess.
Yeah, so you have you see it, right? There's people that stand stuff that they have no business doing it for their own reasons, whatever. And then there's people who go out and they hate stuff for no, you know, for their own reasons. I feel like I got to see it for myself just to make an opinion. The She-Hulk, I don't know how much. Don't want me to spoil anything, right?
Oh no, are you gonna watch the next episode?
There was a lot of I'm watching, but I can watch stuff I hate. I can hate watch pretty easily. So
I'm a great hate watcher.
I'll tell you what, my wife didn't like it. Okay. And there was she's like, I don't know who this is for. And I think she's the target.
Okay. Yeah, like just like a professional woman type thing. Yeah. And like
I don't, you know, or, and it's also for the people who just love everything Marvel, you know, Marvel.
Yeah.
Which, you know, that group is still pretty sizable.
Is it Kitty at all?
It's not Kitty. I think there were a couple of swears. I would call, you know what I would kind of call it? It's kind of like, 35-year-old woman subject matter, but written at a teenage level.
Okay. Yeah. So it's like young adult fiction kind of thing.
Yeah. Kind of like crosses those bear. I wouldn't call this, you know, the main character is an adult with her own adult issues, but it's not, well, since we're going to talk about, it ain't no Better Call Saul level of writing.
Yeah. I was going to say, there's really no, people out there even trying to hate Better Call Saul just to be cool. I think everyone's pretty in agreement with everything in the Breaking Bad universe.
I think maybe you can say it's boring. I can maybe see someone saying that. Too slow, kind of thing.
I was thinking about that because there's been points where, you know, because they got the two storylines, basically, it seems like. The Gus and Mike stuff, and then you got the Saul stuff. Yeah. Sometimes they intertwine, sometimes they don't. Like, at some points during the series, I was just waiting for the Saul stuff to be over to get to the Mike stuff. And then when there was other points where I was waiting for the Mike stuff to end and go to the Saul stuff. So it was like, there is that with the series, but still, I you know, that's a very mild criticism, you know.
And I guess the other thing, I could see how people might, if it's not, I'm trying to think of one other criticism I would say. besides boring, which I think it's a very good thing and a bad thing, if you're engaged, you really got to pay attention to this. This show and this writing does not really help you out. There's very little exposition. You got to know, and I'll admit, I can't think of them off the top of my head. Some connections I didn't get. Why did this character do this? There was a couple times where I'm like, wait, what? And if you're not really completely engaged with it, and maybe you start falling behind, you're like, nah, screw this. You know,
Are you talking specifically this season or just in general?
Yeah, like maybe like when a character shows up, like I'll be honest. Okay, so I'll give you an example, and this isn't even a big one. I don't know where. I think what's his name, Jeff, the cab driver. In part two,
I forget his name, but yeah, the cab driver
what's the actress's name?
Carol Burnett.
Carol Burnett, who was awesome.
Yeah, her son, when I saw her, I was like, wait, is that Carol Burnett?
I know it took me. I didn't look it up, and I just kept looking. I'm like, I know you, but I forgot who this guy was. Like, cause he recognized Saul some point back. I don't even know when. And that's another thing with the show is it covers so much ground over such a long period with so many characters kind of going in and out. And I'm like, I don't know who this Jeff guy is. And I at this point, I'll just look it up later maybe because I forgot that he was the one who recognized Saul because I think he was in the cab with him and he recognized him and then he kind of like wouldn't drive off. And then that's why Saul kind of used him as a target. Like there's stuff like that and there's probably bigger ones. Like I just forget who this guy is and what they want.
When that happened, I was like, okay, so they obviously recognize each other, and then I just vaguely remembered him being in a cab at some point, and that's how I just kind of put it together. But yeah, I couldn't tell you what exactly happened in those scenes, when it was, what season it was. I wish they, like, you almost need to go back and watch all the black and white scenes again, you know, to see.
Yeah, which I'm not doing.
Yeah, I mean, but I mean, they're only, you know, the first scene of each season.
True.
Up until this season, but yeah, it's, yeah.
But this is also a good thing because like I said, like with She-Hulk, where it's really written to a pretty low level. I mean, Better Call Saul, it expects a lot out of its audience, and it doesn't insult your intelligence. If anything, it makes you, like, you know, it's written at that higher level where you really got to pay attention, and you got to kind of figure out motivations and stuff like that on your own. It's very, there's so much show and very little tell. I mean, I guess you say maybe it goes a little too far, but like this, I mean, visual storytelling, there'll just be a scene where someone's doing something for like 10 minutes and no one's even talking.
Yeah.
And you know, like, and you just follow it along and you understand, and you might have a question in your head and it'll answer it, you know, kind of thing. So
Just like Breaking Bad, I mean, and I'm glad this, you know, when the spinoff was announced, I was excited, and then, you know, it could have been different showrunners and different creators of this, like the Vince Gilligan could have just been a producer, but no, I'm glad they were actually behind it, you know, so it wasn't basically a fan fiction show, you know, it was from the actual people who created these characters. So I'm glad that happened. And I'm sure that, I mean, is a testament to the success of it.
Yeah. I'm so glad we got the show. And to be honest, I wasn't that enthused about it. I didn't see a show here, but they gave us one. And I guess with just going through, not even Saul, you know, telling us Jimmy.
Yeah, Jimmy. And just, I love the stuff with Michael McKean, his brother Chuck.
Oh, yeah.
That he was a standout to me in this series, like a new standout that wasn't in the, you know, Breaking Bad universe at all, or, you know, the Breaking Bad show at all. I loved that stuff, and I'm so glad they brought him back for the finale.
That was great. I agree 100%. That's even stuff you just kind of like almost forget about even happened,
right?
You
know? yeah Well, yeah, I think he was gone after season three, maybe.
Yeah, and it's so different and covers a long period of time, but to me the highlight is Kim Wexler.
Yeah,
she's one of my all-time favorite characters in all shows, and again, I'll go back to She-Hulk. Look, we hear so much about the importance of strong female characters. I cannot think of a better example of a more well-developed, strong female character than Kim.
That's a very good point. Yeah.
And one thing I'll spoil about She-Hulk is, because I think this has been all over the internet today, and you must have seen it. She becomes a Hulk, and she's talking with.
It's called She-Hulk. So yeah.
Yeah, she becomes She-Hulk, and it's this issue about like controlling your anger and not turning green, basically. And she says that she's very well prepared to control her anger because she's been essentially been fighting the patriarchy her whole life. Okay, fine. But Kim Wexler doesn't need to tell me that, right? I can watch this character be strong. She's not dependent on Jimmy, but she's a human being and she leans on him and needs him, right? She's not. She competes with all the men in her life with just by doing it. Right?
Yeah. Well, again, it happen. Yeah, it goes to show don't tell. Like it doesn't.
Right.
I love that. You know, Vince Gilligan and what is it? Gold. What's his name? Peter Gold.
Peter Gold. Yeah.
I love that they trust their audience. You know, we're smart. You know, we're not like everyone says dumb. I'm smart and I deserve respect. But a little Godfather reference for everybody there. But but yeah, they trust their audience. Yeah, and yeah, Kim never has to say like I don't need a man to hold me down and blah blah blah. Like, you know, you don't have to tell me you're doing this for women empowerment. I can see Kim wants a strong woman.
Yeah, that's right. When she wants something, she just goes and fucking gets it.
Right. Exactly.
That's
yeah.
it. She doesn't make a show about it. She just fucking does it.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny because I always thought, yeah, she's and still do. She's, yeah, one of the best things to come out of this. And, you know, she, at first, her and Jimmy's relationship, like when it first started, Bob Odenkirk and Rhea Seahorn I was just like really, like it doesn't seem like they match, but
no, it felt weird. Yeah,
it definitely felt weird. It just, I don't know, like it, you know, it was just, I don't know, middle-aged Bob Odenkirk and
yeah, and, well, I was like, why do you like him, right?
Like, yeah, exactly. Plus, yeah, he's like a sleazy, he's slipping Jimmy, you know, he's this sleazy guy, but
we kind of learn why.
Right. Yeah. And, you know? And it gets earned, yeah. You know, after a while. And it's like, okay, they are for each other. You know, this is this makes sense now. And yeah, I'm glad they fleshed that out, because for a little while I was like, this doesn't add up. It's not adding up. But
right.
They made it add up.
As much of a badass lawyer as she is and as tough as she is, she's got a lot of flaws, and yeah. she has weaknesses, you know, like all people. She's not, you know, invincible, strong, powerful woman.
Yeah, she's I mean, again, she's with Slippin' Jimmy, you know, she's right. With
she makes those choices. She makes almost everything that has happened in her life was nothing was forced upon her. She made her own bed.
Exactly. That's what I love about it too. It's about her choices, whereas Jesse and like Breaking Bad, like a lot of the stuff that happened to him, he kind of just felt he had to. Yeah, whereas as Kim, you know, in Kim, she made everything she did. She did on her own, you know, will and everything like that. Like Jimmy never forced her essentially to do anything, and she, you know, he would float things out there like, you know, we could do this, but nah. But and then she would like sometimes egg him on, and then
she'd be the driver in a lot of cases sometimes where he's like, no, I don't want to do it. She would, what is, she came up with that whole convoluted plan with, remember all the sticky notes on the board and all that stuff,
right? Yeah, well, she basically came up with the plan to take down Howard.
Yeah. How about this?
Oh my goodness, that
elaborate scheme.
the elaborate scheme started hilarious and turned into tragedy. It was insane. I was not expecting it. Like another just amazing writing.
Yeah. Howard's an interesting character.
No. Yeah. Let's talk about Howard and then get into what they did to him this season.
Well, I don't know why I didn't think, I always just disliked him and thought he was a douchebag. But then, like, as it was going on, I'm like, you know what? There's really nothing wrong with this guy. I mean, he's a little bit of a tight ass, but that's, right. that's literally it. Like, everything he does to Jimmy throughout, you know, the earlier parts of the series, I see no problem with it. It was all mostly justified, right?
Yeah, well, and like, it's
he really
great
wasn't
too.
A bad guy.
Yeah, it's great too, because they make him out to be kind of the jerk and he's the one that held Jimmy back, but then they do a flashback scene like in season one and season two, and he's basically suggesting Jimmy to be part of their firm, and it's Chuck who's the one that says no, but Howard, being the good guy he apparently is, he's like, all right, I'll be the bad guy and tell him, like, I don't want bad blood between brothers. I'll go ahead and tell Jimmy. And, you know, this whole time Jimmy's the one thinking like, oh, it's Howard. But you're right. Howard is not a bad guy. He again, like everyone in the series, everyone in life, he has his flaws, sure, but he's not a bad guy. He's not the villain in this story.
Where do you land on Chuck?
I love the character / actor. I think Chuck is a selfish prick. You know, he totally wanted to hold Jimmy back.
Yeah. Would you call it like abuse?
Yeah.
A little bit, or is that too far?
I think so. It's manipulation, I guess I would call it, maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe emotional abuse. Which is abuse, but
or was that just the way he was? Like, that's the thing.
It was, but I want to say they've showed scenes like when he would treat someone one way, but then when it came to Jimmy, it was just different. It was just different every time it came to Jimmy. And then I think one of the things that really was the catalyst to that was when their mother was on her deathbed. They did like a flashback, and it's just Chuck there, and she yells out for Jimmy, and it was Chuck there. And like, so like, he always had like this jealousy towards Jimmy. Everyone loves Jimmy, and he never had to work for anything. I worked for everything, and you know, here's Jimmy getting all the credit. Chuck is a very complex character. Like, there's so much to that. I mean, the being allergic to the electro, whatever that was, the whole thing was,
oof, that's
that
problem
was insane. Yeah, that was, yeah. And I love how they showed how it was totally mental. Like, it was, you know, totally a mental thing, and just everything. Yeah. With that was just made the series stand out.
Perfect. Did you have any more on Howard or?
Howard, no, yeah, so yeah, I mean,
or just like the scheme or anything like
that. the scheme, yeah, I mean, you got Saul dressing up like Howard with the fake tan, driving his car, stealing it for a sec to, because Ed Begley Jr., our buddy, he's in this quite a bit. Clifford Maine, he plays.
I think he mentioned that to us, right? Or was it?
Well,
was
he was working secret on a project that he couldn't talk about. But
so
I'm
this
pretty,
was it.
Yeah, pretty.
They
sure
need to let these embark. Just fucking tell me what you're doing.
I know, like, what? It's like, come on, like, yeah. But yeah, so yeah, they and basically, yeah, he kicks hookers. You know, it's all actors and stuff, but he kicks hookers out of his car for Clifford
so
Maine to see, and and he has the hookers come in at the restaurant. Has cocaine.
That was pushing it a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, even the planting of the cocaine in his locker at the country club. Like, they went in on him. And then the final thing with, like, well, there was that one episode where, like, Jimmy's at that vet place and he's, like, testing something out that goes on his hands and then makes his eyes, like, really, you know, dilate.
Yeah.
And we're like, what the heck is this about? And then we realize that it's basically what they're going to use on Howard when Howard starts accusing, no, Jimmy, you know, did all this, you know, when they're trying to finish this whole deal that's been around since season one, this whole like civil suit.
With the retirement home or whatever.
That whole thing. And then that's when Howard shows up at their door and But it's wrong plays, wrong time. Lalo, one of the another standout of this series. If he didn't show up, like I like the guy who played Nacho, Michael Mando. He's great. Nacho was good.
Yeah, let's talk about the bad guys.
You needed someone because Nacho wasn't pure evil. He just, you know, was just a kind of gangster, and he was a, you know, cared about his family and stuff. But he wasn't.
He got in and
evil.
He got in and couldn't get out.
Exactly. Whereas Lalo, like that was the bad guy you need. Like, it was cool they brought Gus back, but it's like, we know what happens to Gus. The Lalo stuff, I think, was brilliantly done. You know, it was, you had to bring in someone else.
Yeah, I agree. At the beginning, I'm like, who's this clown? And then I got scared of the clown.
Yeah. He's very, first thing that comes to mind is just Christoph Waltz, just because he can be super charming while scary at the same time.
Yeah.
Not that they're in the same ball, you know, same league, but that's kind of what it reminds me of. You know,
Can I go on a tangent?
Please.
Or to ask a question? I want to come back to Lalo, but this reminds me. Everybody, all right, how do I want to phrase this? It's when you watch a production that's this good, almost every actor turns in a great performance. It doesn't matter if they're the lead, supporting, guy working a counter. Like, it all comes across well. Now, we know, like, you know, Tony Dalton, I mean, as far as I can see, he's fantastic, right?
Yeah.
Comparing him to Christoph Waltz, right? So, but if Tony Dalton is in, I mean, I don't want to say anything, but like, you know what I'm trying to say? Like, how do you kind of look at, like, the actors as a whole versus, like, when you watch a show, you know, you can watch great actors in a production that just isn't tight and they come across like shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
For this, it doesn't, like, I feel like I almost feel like I could show up for one scene in Better Call Saul and probably wouldn't look half shit. You know what I mean?
Right.
Everything's on point. Where the camera is, what my line is going to be, whatever the direction of this, you know, the way they're telling the story, it'll be okay. Kind of.
Yeah, thing. I think. Yeah, that just surrounding themselves by great people. You know, just the writers on top of the directors they choose to hire, and you know, just the it's just. You're right. I mean, yeah, it does seem like you could just be placed there and do a good job.
But that's the okay. So these guys
are
all
make you look good. I mean, it's a great quarterback. You know, a receiver is going to get great stats because he's a great quarterback. But if he goes to another team, he might suck because his quarterback sucks.
Right. So how much are we exactly? So how much when we see shit on TV? Is it not even, you know, is it not the actors? You know, do we put too much blame on the actors when we're like, oh, that was cringe? Well, you know, whoever was behind this thing, just it's not at the level that it should be. And, you know, and so,
I think people are, you're right. I mean, it definitely, you know, people are, actors are at the forefront. So they're the first go-to to criticize anything, you know? I mean, it's...
They need to be given the material to work with. And,
exactly.
And a lot of times they're just not getting it.
Right, yeah. So, I mean, you could have, someone do three movies in a row that just are terrible, but it's really due to the production and the, you know, everyone behind it. The actor just wasn't given the material, so everyone just thinks, oh, that actor had three flops in a row. Oh, he's done.
But, yeah. Which is probably why you hear actors when they get to work on, when actors really gush and it sounds genuine, is when they get to work on shows like this, because I think that they can, they just, they obviously know the difference, you know?
Well, that's true too. Like they have time to flesh out their characters and make different choices, and, you know, because it's a, you know, a long running show, whereas a movie you got an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Exactly. All right, so my rant's over. To Lalo, I had a question for you.
Yeah.
Now he turns into I think didn't we leave the previous season with the compound getting raided? Is that right?
The end of finale? Season five was when Nacho let the guys in to Gus's guys in to raid Lalo's compound, and he escaped. Everyone thought he died, but he escaped.
Right. Yeah. So then I don't know what you think about this. He kind of turns into a one-man army, and I thought it got a bit – it stretched my believability.
Yeah, it did that. Plus, I think, yeah, they wasted Tony Dalton in season six.
What would you have liked to seen? You wouldn't have wanted to see him.
I don't know. I mean, no, I definitely am. You know, glad he was in it. And wanted him to be in it, but because, yeah, I mean, there was just, I don't know, there just wasn't much chance for him to shine. I mean, other than that episode where he comes in and, you know, kills Howard. other than that, you know, it's just him kind of hiding out in a sewer, going to Germany.
I didn't like that.
Yeah, that was off. That was a low part of the season for me too.
Yeah.
But yeah, this season, yeah, Lalo, I would have liked to see a different direction for what they did. I don't know what I would have done, but
yeah, right.
I would have liked something different.
I kind of agree too. I would have liked something else.
Yes.
Nacho's survival or escape and survival, that was awesome.
Yeah, that was really good. Yeah, him kind of going through the desert and just, and then in that hideout house, and yeah, just, ah, man, yeah, such a, another just being in the wrong place, wrong time kind of dude. Like, he, yeah, kind of got stuck being the informant for Gus, and, you know, there's no way out. Like, I'm going against two, you know, mobs, essentially, mob families.
I thought the negotiation for his surrender and then his own death was great.
Yeah, I'm glad he got to do it on his own terms and say what he wanted to say, you know, and didn't just run off and get shot like they wanted him to do.
Yeah,
he just was like, nope, I kill, you know, I put him in that wheelchair, and, you know, that was pretty badass.
That was, because it's true, and because he got away with it for so long, you know, so it just made Hector so furious, right, to hear that.
Yeah, no, yeah, I mean, it's, yeah, like, and then,
they didn't
suspect
him, right? Or am I wrong there?
They might have, like, hinted at suspecting him at some point, you know,
but to hear it out of
when
his
first happened, but to hear it out of his mouth, that's when it was like, oh, they would have probably took him and tortured him at that point, like,
right.
But he was like,
right, and then, yeah, he was able to get that out and then end it.
Yeah.
Did we learn anything from Mike? This season?
Yeah, I mean, this season, I liked the moment in the finale with him and Saul. They did the flashback of them in the desert, you know, with those bags of money and talking about the
Saul's
time machine.
Saul was getting, like, kind of frustrating, right, as a human being, to me, anyways.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's, yeah, the point. I mean, yeah, Saul... Yeah, just totally became just sleazy lawyer. Like, he just, once him and Kim split, it was just like, he just went all in on his deeds.
he became the cartoon that we met in Breaking Bad.
Exactly. But other than the stuff in the finale with Mike, I'm trying to think what else happened in
I thought it was nice that he put that car on to watch Kim. That was good. That he just did it, you know?
Yeah.
He does have a... I wouldn't call him a hard exterior, soft interior. I wouldn't say that about him. But he's still... He has his own sense of what's right and what's wrong.
Yeah, he has... Yeah.
For, like, people that are more innocent than others, you know, he has that sense in him still.
Yeah, yeah. He does have a morality to him. A little bit, you know, he even says when Saul asked him about the time machine, you know, I would go back when I took my first bribe. I wouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
That led to all this, you know, that led to, first of all, my son getting killed, and then led to, you know, this life I'm leading now.
Yeah. I think since we've always seen him, unless it's a really bad person he's facing, he almost always gives someone fair warning right before he kills them.
Yeah, yeah.
Or something, you know?
He's by no means a cold-blooded killer. Like, he's if he kills someone, it's basically because...
He'd rather avoid it.
If I don't, you're going to kill me, so
right,
that's why I'm killing these guys right now. He rather wouldn't. Just like when I loved the stuff with him and the German engineer. I mean, this was a couple seasons ago.
When
they were building Gus's lab.
Kept warning him.
Yeah, yeah, and the guy knew, you know, it was coming. Like, and he's like, I want to look at the stars, and Mike let him look in the stars, and had to shoot him in the back of the head. Had mice and men him.
Yep.
But
and so the guy in Germany that Lalo tracks down was just on this crew. I didn't recognize him or even really. I was kind of confused on what the connection was, other than remember they showed something Germany. I'm like, okay. I guess
he found that thing in his that guy's widow's house. It was like a trophy, and then like had something on the bottom. Like, I don't know how he put together anything. Yeah, this whole thing. Yeah, it didn't really work. I mean, maybe if I went back and looked at it, and I'd be like, oh, that's why. But it's too late.
Because that's kind of what I meant in the beginning, where like sometimes things are a little too vague, and they're showing a little too much they're showing not telling at all, and what they're showing is not very much.
Right. Well, this season in particular needed a rewatch of the other seasons, in particular because of there was so much time between hand because of between seasons because of COVID and everything.
Right.
So, this one, you know, needed a rewatch of the whole series.
What I did like, though, is at least the break in this season was not long.
Yeah, like the mid-season break. Exactly. I'm so glad they did that. And then they did that. I hope they do that now with shows, because that, first of all, back in the day, they never did that with shows, have a mid-season break. But Stranger Things had a short break, too.
Right, which was Ozark, nice.
Ozark, too. So, yeah, I'm hoping now they are done with that silly thing. Like,
I agree.
Like, just call it a different season if that's what you're doing. Like, just say this is the season finale, not mid-season finale. But
it's become, well, I guess I think the strategy is we have a little too much for our 10 episodes, and we don't want to lose, we don't want to fall out of people's ears, you know, like, or, you know, out of the engagement. So it's got to be what it is. If we just take like 6 weeks or something.
Yeah, it's that, but it's also, I think it does, because instead of calling it a brand new season, I mean, this is kind of a side point, instead of calling it a brand new season, I read that basically they do it because of money.
Oh.
So the actors can't negotiate for a new season. Like, nope, this is the same season, so you're getting paid the same. Like,
makes sense, yeah.
It's a money thing for sure.
And who knows if they probably film it all at once, right? So it's really just a break for us, you know, and when they want to release it, not how they film it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, even like the last season of Breaking Bad was a year apart, but they still called it season 5A, season 5B, but it was all season 5 rather than 5 and 6.
Right, yeah.
That was silly, but.
So we kind of thought this would be shorter than it was, but I do want to. I got a couple of things.
Yeah.
We got to talk about Gus. And then I want to talk about the inevitable comparison between this and Breaking Bad. And then we got to talk about, you know, the finale, what we think of it. Do you have anything else on your mind?
No, I was going to bring up Gus next.
What's the deal with Gus?
Definitely gay. I think that was confirmed this season.
With the sommelier?
That, plus I think... Lalo hinted at it before, he's just sad about his, you know, his boyfriend getting shot at the pool, like referencing Breaking Bad.
I just thought he was really neat, like clean and
well, that could fastidious. Be too. They're not mutually exclusive, you know. There's some sloppy gay dudes, dude.
I'm just making a Seinfeld joke.
Oh yeah, that's right. I'm just neat and clean.
Oh wait, so what was? Wow, this. Oh, so was the sommelier gay?
Sommelier probably. Gay? I don't know. Well, so yeah, that's my thing. So why? I thought they were gonna bring Gus back and give us more. I didn't realize that was gonna be Gus's last scene. But I think it has to do with. Are you wondering like why he just kind of abruptly left and just left the bar or whatever at the end?
That didn't surprise me. Yeah, I don't understand this scene. Now, you can, once you could say, okay, this is just like a window into how he spends his time.
Right.
Another is he makes the way he has very limited social interactions, right? But he's obviously a regular to this bar. So this is sort of how this very, I mean, is there anyone more tight-laced than this guy that's ever existed?
Right. Yeah, I think it's kind of like, I think it's him coming to a realization that I can never have a life outside of what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. Like, that's why I have to walk away now, because I'm enjoying this too much and I can't have that. And I think even like the, he was bringing up how, like, do you taste like the blood in the wine and like the, like, so I think that got him thinking about, you know, just the kind of lifestyle he's living.
So this guy is like one of his only friends.
And it's his only friends that, yeah, aren't in the business or just
wine. He can be straight and just not risk relationships.
No, that too. Yeah, I don't think it had anything to do with the gay thing like that.
What's the gay? Because I just went over my head. What makes you think that? Because I never thought of him being. Sorry, I'm talking over you. But last thing I was like, he just doesn't seem like a sexual being to me. That's why.
You're right. Yeah, he does seem like asexual. I mean, you know, just the way he was talking to that guy. And then, again, I think there's been illusions.
Yeah, illusions.
Like Lalo alluded to it, or I don't know if he was just making a crass joke or whatever, but...
maybe I just missed it. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. And I've read things online. You know, the interwebs, so that doesn't lie.
Yeah.
But well, I could be totally wrong. I mean, they never confirmed
either way.
Maybe
you're onto something. It probably just went over my head. So that's interesting.
But either way, just having any sort of relationship outside of this criminal life I lead, it's impossible. Like, I can't bring anyone else into this. Like, I'm never going to be able to, you know, have this life and this life. It's either this life or it's done.
You know,
that's kind of how I took it.
I love that. And one thing that both of these shows did really well was show you that no one's happy.
Yeah.
Anywhere, any money you make, well, which I thought was good, Mike made this point, I think at some point, saying that money is not ours.
Right. Yeah.
And it's because it's not. Yeah. The owner of that money will find and kill you.
Right.
And it's like there are no, it's a shortcut, but none of it is really ever yours to use. You know, very I think true. Walter, didn't he? I mean, those barrels of cash are somewhere in the desert, right? Still, I guess.
Well, or they're somewhere on the neo-Nazis compound, I think.
Oh, yeah. In the compound. Yeah. Right.
And then the rest are with Gretchen and Elliot. I wonder if they ever gave that to the kids.
Yeah, right.
To Walter Cam, Jr.
Cam and Saul got, or Jimmy, whatever, they got a big piece of that settlement, right? Didn't that go through?
Yeah, they never, I don't think they ever confirmed that, but I assume. Oh, no. So basically, yeah, it did go through because when she came in to sign the divorce papers, he said, like, you know, half of it's yours. Like
Sandpiper, that's the name of it.
Yeah, Sandpiper. And she didn't want it. So, yeah, Saul got it.
Where's
all
that money? That's millions of dollars.
Well, yeah, I think the government seized everything.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
When he went on the lam, he had just liquid cash.
This is just like a high level after school special that crime doesn't pay.
Exactly. Well, I mean, even, you know, again, yeah, there's no being happy. I mean, even when Gus is, you know, thriving, or, you know, he's what do you call that? Basically, he's waving the neck, Eladio's necklace in front of Hector and breaking dad. Yeah. Like he's reveling in his victory over Hector. Like, I got revenge on you. You have no one left. But did that make him happy? No, he's still in this business. And, you know, and Hector killed him and himself anyway. in the end. So yeah. You're right. Yeah. No one ends up happy.
Yeah. Gus just because he's so stressed out about like the minutiae of how Los Pollos Hermanos runs.
Right.
On top of his drug empire. And you're right. His only, like, he gets the tiniest satisfaction of just getting one over on somebody. And then it's gone.
Exactly. Well, yeah. I mean, even like you get rare glimpses of Gus losing his cool a little bit with regular people when he makes the kid at the Pollos Hermanos like keep cleaning whatever he was supposed to clean.
Yeah,
like it
yeah.
still wasn't right. And then Gus finally was like, I'll just do it myself. And I was like, damn. But yeah, no one's happy. That's the bottom line.
He's got an OCD, the version of like that Chuck had with the electricity. It's like,
yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. He's very just like, he's like what Walter said at one point, I'm in the empire business.
Yeah.
And that's what Gus was like. He's in the empire business.
But not satisfied with just having a chain of well run. Cause that's a place where I would want to eat. Cause they're really on top of their shit.
They look like they have amazing chicken and you know,
you could just have like own a dozen of those things across the Southwest, be a millionaire and live a happy life with whatever partner you choose and, you know, just chill out, man.
Yeah. Just be happy, bro. Like, yeah, you got, you know, teenagers running your shop there. Like, you don't even have to be there anymore and you'll make money. Like,
how about when he's shot and he calls the worker at like 4:30 in the morning to say that they're gonna have to open the store, and you know,
yeah.
Love that. So he's at his
actually mind. I you bringing that up just made me realize the juxtaposition of Saul as Gene calling when he's in jail finally, mm-hmm. saying like, you're gonna, you know, yeah make sure you do this and this and the, you're gonna need a new manager.
Cinnabon.
Yeah. I could go for one of those. All right, finale. So
finale.
Were you satisfied?
Yes. I think for two. I mean, so let's talk Jimmy and then let's talk Kim. Or I don't know which order. Although, actually, I think my thing with Kim is because we talked about really her strength as a character, I think she went under self punishment.
Yeah.
That like was her way. She ended up with a guy that was totally wrong for her. Jimmy and her used to watch these old classic movies, right? And then we cut to the idiot boyfriend who's watching, I don't know what it was, like The Amazing Race or something.
Oh, right. Yes.
You can't even be bothered to watch it because it's just so beneath her taste. Yeah. But it's a choice, right? And he's a terrible lover. You know, he's pump and dump.
Yep. pump and dump.
You know, no satisfaction there. She's enduring. She's working at a sprinkler?
Yeah, selling couplings to sprinklers and it's so weird.
So that was my take. Did you have another one?
No. Yeah. I mean, on Kim. Yeah. I mean, she. Yeah. Totally. You know. So she went somewhere to start over, like Saul said at the end. You know, when he's in the courtroom, like. Whereas he ran, you know, she just went somewhere to start over, like with her name and everything. Like, she didn't go back into law. I mean, we see her go back into law at the very end, but it was interesting to see that. Yeah. The guilt she had with Howard was, you know, totally weighing on her, which eventually made her, confess and give that information to the DA and Howard's widow. You know, so yeah, she's totally living in guilt, and Saul is just living in, I just need to hide. I'm not going to show myself, but he gets caught. Cause Carol Burnett gets a laptop, gets the internet.
Now, did she do the confession? Not just for herself, but also to not let Jimmy weasel out of it, because that is really the only thing that he can't talk his way out of her testimony. Or do you not see it that way? Did she?
Well,
or no? Was it just for herself?
But he kind of ended up he did. I mean, he didn't talk himself out of it, but he absolved her of it. I don't know. That's a good point. Yeah, I don't know what. To me, I took it as she was totally just doing it to get it off her conscience in her mind. Like
That makes sense. I just wanted to throw it out there.
But it would make sense that it had something to do with Jimmy too, though. Like
maybe I don't know. I don't know. Random thought. Because she does harbor. I think she harbors resentment towards him. No, or not.
I would think so because you know they kind of because he kind of went on living the life of a scumbag and they weren't first of all the fact that they weren't doing it together maybe she resented that like you know I thought that was our thing
and also and, maybe because she because Jimmy never showed any sign of. Which we eventually got to, but throughout this, which we talked about the frustration part of him, he never seemed to give a shit about anything. And I wonder if that was really more of her resentment that she, because she likes him and she thinks, I think she always thought, not I can fix him, but there is good in him.
Right.
And he just didn't want to, you're right. As you said, he just doubled down on Saul. Where she's like, I got to this point because I realized what I did, and you didn't, you son of a bitch. Why not?
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, he even is so cold to her when they're, you know, signing the divorce papers. Like, he's being so apathetic about it. And, you know, even says, like, all right, have a nice life, Kim. Like, it was just like, man, he just doesn't. But I think deep down he did care. But I think at that point he was full on Saul. He was no longer Jimmy. Mm-hmm. I think that's the main difference. I think that's what I keep forgetting is, Jimmy and Saul Goodman are two different people. Jimmy is someone who will try to con his way and weasel his way into making money and, you know, getting the easy way out, you know, getting the settlements from slipping and falling in front of Marshall Fields, like he tells Walter, you know. But Saul, he's a full on criminal. Like, he's just, this is me. I'm a criminal and that's my life. That's how I make my money.
Right.
So this they're two different entities.
Yeah, exactly. When I become once I become this person, I no longer have to give a shit.
Right.
It was just like, get out of conscience free card or something.
Yeah, exactly. So, that's all interesting stuff. And my whole thinking going into it, like, cause it was a cliffhanger with Carol Burnett saying, better call Saul's here. He's a criminal in my house. And so he goes on the run. My whole thinking was, and he almost did that. Saul's going to find a way to get out of it again. Like, he's somehow going to get out of it. And he basically did until he found out what Kim did. He got, basically he was gonna have life in prison plus like 90 some years or something. He got them down to 7.5 years and choice of prison because he's Saul Goodman. Like, that's what he's good at. He knows how to work the system, you know. And
I love that round table with him and the FBI agents when he's facing like 200 years.
Yes.
And then they see him and he's like, I just need one jury member.
Yep.
And you know, he's taking the stand.
Yep.
And he's going to convince one person. He will. Yeah,
exactly. He knows, like, it's the hubris in him. And it's just like, man, he takes advantage of knowing that this other lawyer is a big shot who doesn't want to lose a case because he's never lost a case. So he plays that card like, oh, you've never lost a case, huh?
Yeah.
Like, and exactly. So he doesn't want to take a chance of losing a case. So that was great. And then, them bringing in Marie Schrader, I was not expecting that. That was the last thing on my mind was for her to show up. But it actually was a pleasant surprise. Like, it made sense, because he's kind of the last piece that, because Walt got off by dying, you know, so no one had to really pay for Hank's death yet.
Saul kind of had to pay for all of it. Because he was the only one left. Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, now, Jesse got free in that movie, El Camino.
He got free. Did Saul get caught on purpose?
Like, no. I mean, maybe subconsciously, but.
That's what I mean. That's what it felt like. particularly when that last scam where they're robbing rich men, the last one, I think it was the cancer patient.
Yeah.
And the third sidekick that just kind of is like, no, I don't want to do this. And Saul went there, Jimmy. No, wait, what was his name? What was his assumed name?
Gene Church. Trekovich or something, or something.
Yeah,
weird.
Yeah, Gene. Yeah, when he goes and he busts that, there's no reason to do any of this.
Yeah, exactly.
He goes and he forcibly breaks and enters, which is completely contrary to the plan, because what they were doing was they were helping the guy into the house and then putting a piece of duct tape over the door to walk in later and get the financial information. It's almost like it was a cry for help. Me,
that's true. Yeah, you're right. Because it's like, yeah, why are you gonna make that big of a mess and, you know, do all, it's like, why take pictures of anything at that point? Just take things at that point, you know.
Yeah.
Obviously there was a break-in, so, which actually he does end up taking his watch.
How about that cat in that scene later in the scene where the cab driver, I think we said it was Jeff, where he just freaks out and crashes into the car.
Yeah, it's like, what are you doing, dude? And that's when he gets caught because he has to call the mom to get him out of jail and stuff. So yeah,
and Gene, he slips up here, right, where he's talking to Carol Burnett, where he says something about it's not like Albuquerque.
Yeah,
that was the trigger for her.
Yeah, she, there was something there with Albuquerque, like, and just something wasn't adding up to her. So yeah, that's what made her.
He was talking in a way that, you know, he went into Saul mode because he was like,
oh,
talking
like
about,
he was talking. Oh, you know, I must have.
He was all too familiar with the bail process.
Yeah, it's like, wait, how do you know all this? Yeah, it's like,
and I guess that's why she searched, and he mentioned Albuquerque saying. Sounded like he knew about it, and then that she searched, like, what, Albuquerque con man or something like that?
Yeah, yeah, I searched Albuquerque and con man, and Saul Goodman came up.
Was he going to choke her with the phone wire?
It seemed like it. He wouldn't hurt anyone, I don't think. Like, he was close to hitting that one guy in the back of the head, the guy with the cancer on the stairs. Yeah. Maybe he would have. I don't know. At that point, he obviously wasn't desperate enough. But then, yeah, they catch him in a dumpster.
Yeah.
You know,
so he gets he has a plea agreement for 7 years. At his hearing, Kim shows up, and he interrupts the proceeding on advice from his own fake lawyer and the judge, and just confesses everything.
Yeah.
And was he get 80 years?
Yeah, 80 years. And what I like about it is he finally is truthful about Chuck, you know, like, and he expresses his regret of killing Chuck, or of Chuck killing himself, because, you know, when the whole time machine stuff, you know, when he asks Mike, you know, he says, I'll go back and, you know, invest in the Berkshire or whatever, the Warren Buffett company.
Yeah.
And then with Walter White, he talks about the slip and fall. And Walter's like, oh, time machine. What the time machine? It's theoretically impossible, blah, blah, blah.
I love it. That's like, but it's like trying to watch like Star Wars with Walter White, and he's going to tell you how the, you know, hyperdrive couldn't work. Yeah. That's why he hates it.
Exactly. And you got him talking about that, but then they do the flashback with Chuck, and Chuck's like, you can stay, you know, we can talk about your cases and all that. And I think that, and then he was reading the book, The Time Machine. I think that was kind of saying, basically, Saul wishes he would have stayed and talked with him and wasn't a jerk to him then.
I think that's a great read. Yeah, that's awesome.
You know, that's the moment he would have went back to, spent a little more time with my brother, and maybe, had a better relationship with him, and, you know, he'd still be around today. So, what'd you think of, you know, he confesses everything, and then he's on the bus going to the, you know, max security prison in Colorado, the Alcatraz of the Rockies, he calls it.
Yeah.
And but people on the bus start to recognize him and do a Better Call Saul chant. What'd you think of that moment?
I didn't know if that meant he was going to be in danger or if he was going to be a minor celebrity, which it turns out is what seems to be the case. And he's, since he worked at the Cinnabon, now he's got experience to make the bread for the cafeteria.
Yep.
It seems like he's actually okay, and he's probably just going to be a, you know, it's a low-level scammer in jail, and that'll keep him occupied. But at least now he's not face. I guess it's not. I don't know. It's going to suck, but
right.
There's going to be drudge. It's the same drudgery in Omaha, and he couldn't control himself there. And maybe it was his conscience bugging him. And my theory is he kind of or subconsciously got himself caught. So, yeah.
Well, now and, that and, that's
go ahead.
And two, he was free, quote unquote, in Omaha, but he wasn't really free. He was a prisoner in Omaha. So yeah. Now he at least is mindfully free, you know, in the end. Like, he's physically in prison, but I think he's now embraced, I am Jimmy McGill. I am owning up for everything I've done, you know, and I am, my mind is free.
So they're both prison, except in this one, he doesn't hate himself.
Yeah, exactly. He doesn't, yeah, he's not, you know, self-loathing, and, you know, he even cracks a joke to Kim when she visits him, and, you know, as his lawyer or whatever, and they have his last moment with the cigarette and everything, and, you know, he says, you know, yep, 86 years, but with, you know, good behavior, you know, just...
I thought she was going to say something like, I can get you out in 5 or something, but...
Yeah, yeah, I thought they were going to, like, make a hint, like, yeah.
But no,
we're gonna get you out.
She's yeah. not coming back, I don't think, right?
Nah, yeah, I think that was the end of it. It was... They had their last little moment, last little look at each other when she's walking away. And Saul is, you know, he is where he deserves, you know, he deserves to be in prison. I don't think he deserves to die. He doesn't deserve to be free.
No.
So I think he got what he deserved. And I like that because Walt got what he deserved. He died. Yeah. He deserved to die.
Yeah.
Jesse got what he deserved. He deserved to be free, I think. You know, he was a criminal, but everything he went through
yeah.
with the neo-Nazis and everything, he deserved to be free in my mind.
Yeah, I think I'd agree with that. And Walt kind of giving himself for Jesse was that redemption was that was right.
Right. Yes, exactly. So
I think I'm sad that I can't, you know, have in my mind that there's going to be another season of some Vince Gilligan, Peter Gould production to have my eye on that I know I some comfort that I can get
right.
10 episodes of, you know, elevated content. Doesn't matter really what it is about because
yeah.
and a lot of this stuff that happened in Better Call Saul, none of it really sounds all that interesting for the most part. But it built tension. It fleshed out characters that I came to really love, you know, in a show that I didn't expect to be anything, and I came away, you know, loving Jimmy, Saul at the end, Kim Wexler, one of my favorite TV characters of all time, which we already yeah. went over. But you know, Lalo, all of them, Mike, Gus,
I know, Nacho. Yeah, just
oh great,
so great, yeah.
So I'm a little sad that it's over.
I know. Apparently, he is in development of another series. He said it's going to be nothing like this universe, but he is developing another series. So, you know, I think these two series do earn him a watch, no matter what it's going to be about.
Oh, yeah. And compared to a lot of the
at least
junk
to check it
there.
Out. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Let's final thoughts. What do we think of this compared to Breaking Bad?
I mean, it's. It has the same tone, I guess, as Breaking Bad, and the characters are brought back and everything. So, I mean, it's hard to even separate them. I mean, I think Breaking Bad just was groundbreaking and just was, I think, to me is, you know, pretty much my favorite series ever. Better Call Saul is right up there too, though. But it's just like the different side of things, like the law and, you know, they even held it. at first I was frustrated that they were holding on to them introducing him as Saul in the series. Like, he was Jimmy McGill for like the first four seasons, and then he finally became Saul. But I'm glad they did that. I'm glad they took their time.
Yeah.
To really, it was a real character study, you know, a real background story on this guy and what makes him tick and what happened to him before. So I thought it was just amazingly done, and just what a great, accent or addition. What's that? I keep misusing my words, but anyways, what a great compliment to Breaking Bad.
Yeah, showing you more of the universe. And because if we just got Saul is like he's a completed character, so
yeah,
there's not a lot to just him. He's so static, and he's just a total asshole.
Yeah, exactly.
Showing the transformation of how someone becomes that way. Yeah, I agree. For me, I'm a little mixed. Because,
yeah, I know you weren't too high on Breaking Bad like the last season.
Yeah. So, all right. So that I think these shows have kind of like two trajectories. I think Breaking Bad in the beginning and through the middle was the best TV I've ever seen, but I didn't like the way it ended. Once they kind of moved away from the cartel to the neo-Nazi thing, I felt like I was as much as I like Jesse Plemons as a, you know, as an actor and his character, that story just never really grabbed me. And I was kind of just waiting for it to end. That's just me. On the other hand, I think Better Call Saul is like sort of the opposite. I stuck with it. Cause I trusted the, you know, the direction and everything
to see
where it went. And I thought it kept getting better as it went. So I think, you know, sort of that way. Now, I guess the ultimate question is the best of Breaking Bad better than the best of Better Call Saul? And I have to say yes.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of where I land. But also, as much as I love Kim Wexler, I didn't love a single female character in Breaking Bad.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, Skyler and Marie, they were, yeah.
They're just annoying.
Yeah.
Like none of them were wrong about the way they felt, but I just hated them.
Yeah. Yeah. They didn't do a very good job of making you like any of the female characters in that series.
Yeah.
But yeah, Kim Wexler. Yeah. I totally am in agreement with you there. Even Mike's daughter-in-law in Better Call Saul. She was good. Like, yeah. I liked her.
I agree.
And I liked Mike's whole background with his son showing that. Like, that was good stuff. I mean, but yeah, that's way back in season one. But yeah, great stuff.
I'd be curious to know what budgets are like, because it's just Better Call Saul just feels more well-rounded.
Yeah.
Like, there's no roughness around the edges with stuff. You know, whereas Breaking Bad, it felt more low-budget.
Well, yeah. I mean, well, especially at the beginning, because, I mean, this type of TV was fairly new then. I mean, that was 2007, I think, when it came out. So yeah, I mean, this kind of TV was brand new.
Yeah,
like, you didn't see stuff like this. So I think that
I think it's close.
Has a lot to do with it.
Yeah, I do too. I think it's actually a closer conversation than some people might think in terms of which one's better. I do think it's close, but I have to stay with Breaking Bad.
Yeah, makes sense. What'd you think of them bringing back Jesse and Walt? Forced or no?
It was kind of more funny to see. Well, okay, so we see them in two ways. We see the Winnebago scene. That I liked a lot.
Yeah.
Walt in the basement with Jimmy when they were talking about the time machine thing. As much as I kind of liked it, sort of showed you the Walt character. I didn't love the scene, but I really liked the scene with Jesse and Kim smoking the cigarette.
Yeah, that was fitting, like that, and I liked the reveal of Jesse there, like behind the pillar.
Yeah,
like that was cool.
I like it's like one character's kind of leaving Saul, and another one's getting into Saul.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Yeah, you need a criminal lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, good stuff. Yeah, I'm sad like you. We're not gonna have any more Breaking Bad stuff. But hey,
last thing for me,
watch it again. And sorry. Dave's still talking.
Last thing on Breaking Bad, I never liked Jesse. Never liked him.
Really? As a character, just, I mean,
never liked the actor, never liked the character.
Really?
Wow. I felt more sympathetic towards the end.
Yeah.
You just always I just never liked. I felt like the way Walt talks to Jesse is the way I feel to Jesse. So I think
I can picture you yelling at him like the way Walt yells at him.
That's what I wanted every time. It's like, okay, great. Just tell this piece of shit that he's being a piece of shit.
Oh my goodness. So there you have it, folks. Better Call Saul. What'd you think? Let us know. Follow us on Twitter at BlockbusterCast, Instagram at Blockbuster Mentality. Follow Dave on Twitter at Dave_Quist. You can go to our website, blockbustermentality.com, where you get all the updates on the show, and give us a 5-star review on iTunes. It helps us out a lot.
We need it. Not only does it help, but we need it. We desperately need this 5-star
review. Please, please.
If you could.
Just do it. All right.
Please.
That is it for me. For Dave, I'm Ben. And as always, grab some popcorn, grab some snacks. We'll catch you guys
at the TV and movies.